The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
Now, we're not recommending you start drinking at this time of the day, but we are going to talk maybe some nice craft beers that you might like to enjoy over the Christmas period at your leisure. We are joined by Susan Boyle, drinks consultant and beverage researcher at IT Tala, and also by Joe Donnelly, once of this parish, of course, now marketing manager at Rascal's Brewery. Thank you very much,
Thank you, Matt.
For coming.
Thank you very much.
I'm going to start with a curveball. I saw a fascinating video about a year ago on Twitter, and I've been following it since, that the right way to pour a beer when you open a bottle or open a can is not the way tilting the glass, you say, but actually is to pour and get as big a head as possible and leave the gas escape and get out, and that way it won't sit in your stomach when you drink it. And you're looking mystified at me, Joe.
No, there's some truth in it. If you think about how, say, if you're in Germany or on the continent and you're drinking beers, how they have these gorgeous fluffy heads on them. Well, it also shows the structure that has gone into making that beer, how the proteins will be able to hold the structure of the gases that are in it. But it also depends on what style of beer you're pouring as well, Matt. So if you have maybe a beer that has been aged in bottle for quite a while, you want to tend to that a little bit more carefully because you mightn't want the sediment to be there. So you won't have the same carbonation that you have with lagers in a beer like that. And you don't want the sediment to be maybe in your glass. You want it nice and clear.
I was just going to say all of that.
Yes, all of that. And if you're doing a nitro pour as well, though, nitrogen escapes from beer slower. So if you know for the traditional Guinness waterfall kind of pour that happens where the nitrogen bubbles are tinier.
Yeah, and I'm not suggesting
so
for Guinness because Guinness
really
has to be poured extremely carefully.
Right? Guinness, that's a con.
That's a con.
Absolute con.
It's a brilliant piece of marketing. A genius piece of marketing.
It's a one for the two-step pour is just nonsense.
It's heresy.
No. Should you not be a Murphy's drinker?
I think we just have to take your passport back off you, Joe.
But hold on a second.
No, it is. Not, it's like the breakfast is the most important meal of the day. That was a slogan by Kellogg's. It's not like it, and the two-step pour for Guinness or any porter is complete nonsense. It's just for show.
Oh, really?
You should pour
so you want to go to a sort of football stadium, is it? Or you want to go to a bar in Britain and get your Guinness poured in one go?
Wow, anti-English sentiment coming out. I think your listeners will have something to say about that.
That's a disgrace.
Whether it's a disgrace or not, it happens to be true. I'm sorry, Matt. God.
I refuse to accept any pint of Guinness or Murphy's, or Beamish, that hasn't got a too poor approach.
Well, I'll tell you what, next time you go and order a pint in a pub, ask them to pull it all the way through and see if there's any difference.
Just be like, no, it doesn't happen. But no, okay.
Let's talk about pouring beers properly.
The reason
is to make sure the gas doesn't accumulate in your stomach and give you that bloated feeling, which can often happen. Okay. You've got a grapefruit lager in front of me?
Well, it's a grapefruit radler. Oh, that is doing loads of fizzing.
Sorry, what's the difference between a radler and a lager?
A radler, we're talking here of these kind of low and no alcohol beers where beers have like lower in alcohol. So this is a mixture of grapefruit soda and Stiegl beer. Now, Stiegl have been making beer in Austria since 1492, same year that Columbus discovered the Americas. And what I think is lovely about this is I had this after the Beer Writers Guild Awards at a brunch and it kind of sits in that place where a mimosa does. So you're thinking almost breakfast beer.
Oh, yeah.
It's lower in alcohol. It's only 2% and it's really light and the grapefruit...
It smells like lilt.
Yeah, it does. But wait till you taste it. It's got this kind of like grapefruity bitterness that comes through, but a little bit of sweetness. And it's just, I think, a nice alternative for when you want to drink something, but you don't want all the alcohol in it.
The name comes from the sport of cycling, where they used to, French and Belgian cyclists used to drink when they'd be doing tours to France.
It's very like a soft drink. But it's well made. Like I said, there's a great legacy behind this brewery. Yeah, it's a mixture of beer and soda.
That's a beer. But cyclists used to drink that to give them more energy.
Right.
This is true.
Matt is not believing anything today.
No. Is that before they moved to performance-enhancing drugs?
So the point being that performance-enhancing intoxicants have always been used.
Well, if you think of all the German athletes who use non-alcoholic beers during the Winter Olympics, because it is easier to assimilate into your body.
They used to drink wine in the Tour de France. As, you know, prescribed by their team
There's
coaches.
There's a certain marathon, apparently, in France that you run and you take a glass of wine.
In the meadow.
In
Bordeaux.
Every mile.
Every single stop,
so you've had 26 glasses by the time you fall pissed over the line.
It's quite a lot.
Yeah.
Okay, you're
we'll
your
move
first
to,
choice.
One thing I want to say, and I think I say it every year, is that I really would urge your listeners to investigate and explore and buy Irish craft beer because the standard of Irish craft beer now is right up there with New Zealand with the United States. I think it's brilliant. I think this year has been a really, really good year for Irish craft
and
beer.
And that goes across the entire industry, not just your own
Absolutely.
Rascals
that
brewery.
That is correct, Matt. Okay. The first brewery that I've picked is Trouble Brewing. They're based in Kildare and they have a juicy pale ale called Ambush, which is really, really lovely, really hoppy and really fruity. And it's really quite smooth, but there's loads and loads of different flavours in it. And if you like IPAs, you'll love that. And if you don't, that's a really good IPA to start you off and to get into.
What's the percentage volume in that?
That's 5%. One of the reasons why I picked Trouble Brewing is because this year they've produced some amazing drinks. They had a lovely lactose and vanilla IPA.
Yeah, that was delicious.
Called Protect Your Neck, which is after a Wu-Tang Clan song, which is mm-hmm. particularly cool. But it was just so tasty. It was incredibly well made. And they also had a drink called the Fresh Prince of Kildare, which I liked. And that was, I think, a double dry hopped IPA.
Quite hoppy smelling. This,
very, very
it?
Hoppy, yeah. But I mean, these are the kinds of drinks that, you know, you wouldn't knock them back. Obviously, you wouldn't do that with a lot of the strong drinks. But you really do savour every
them, yeah.
sip. You savour it because
really
there's so many
nice.
Flavours in it. And there's so much craft and shit.
But actually, that's an interesting point. A lot of these craft beers are not like your mass-produced beers, which you sort of knock back as a session almost. These are to be supped and savoured, isn't it, to an extent?
A lot of them would be, yeah. Especially, you know, Imperial Porters and that kind of thing, because they're
perfect
very strong.
Home, particularly. Okay, what's your next choice?
What I'm going to move on to is something, because it's this time of the year and we're Christmassy, I'm going to taste a beer that is made with spruce tips. So Rye River have been doing a really interesting project this year where they've had their brewer Bill make unusual beers in small batches. So this is one of their limited edition small batch beers, and it is their Just the Triple is the name of it, and it's made with... it's a saison. It's made with pine tips, spruce tips that have been collected in Kildare.
When you read descriptions of craft beer, pine often comes into it.
It often comes up because a lot of hop varieties give that kind of resinous or pine aspect, but this is actually from those soft pine tips that come out early in the season.
So you're drinking your Christmas tree.
Well, I just thought it might work.
You could
drink under
the
Christmas
tree. You're
sitting there by the
fire,
the Christmas tree is on, and this, and you've got that kind of reminiscence of something that tastes a little bit Christmassy as well. But this has a kind of a little bit of a funk in it and a lovely kind of sweetness, I think, that comes through from the malt body as well.
Quite sweet, all right, isn't it?
Yeah, so some of them tend to, some craft beers, especially the IPAs, tend to have a sweetness to them. But there should be bitterness as well. And there's always a nice, you know, a good
you
one when there's
balance.
A balance between the
between
bitterness
the malt.
And the sweetness.
So what's happening is that because you're talking about taste when you're talking about craft beers, you're pumping in lots of really, really tasty malt into that. And then malt is a sweet product anyway. Think of the inside of Maltesers. You've got that sweetness. So if it hasn't all been turned into alcohol, then you end up with a little bit of sweetness that's left. But should be counteracted by bitterness.
Yeah, quite sweet. I'm only sipping the tiniest amounts because I'm supposed to be off drink at the moment.
Okay.
And I'm sort of
He's
just
lying.
Taking
You're
the
making
time.
Your job
absolutely
difficult.
Lying.
I know, because what'll happen
well,
is
you
now
can
I'll,
smell
I'll
them,
fall
though,
into
and
it
knows
and be
them.
Absolutely locked by the end of the programme. Anyway, no, I won't. I'm only joking in case Pierre is listening. What's your next one? Look, why don't you go for something from your own Rascals brewery there, Joe?
Absolutely. This is Rascals New England Double IPA, and it's called the 9, and it was part of a series called the 759 series. And
9, is that not irresponsible to have that
9%?
Much about 9% alcohol?
Well, no, not really. I mean, you wouldn't go around and take a bag of cans of these onto the Lewis and have the crack like this. You'd have these at home with something. And when you taste it, you'll see that, I mean, you know, in terms of, we've talked about hops, this really has so many beautiful hop flavours in it. Lots of different hops. And it's also used, cryo hops were used in the brewing, which are kind of powdered hops. Mm-hmm. And the vegetable matter is kind of removed. So it gives you a more intense flavour. So you should get a more intense flavour from that. And
it's a gorgeous
and it is more potent.
As well.
And there's a low bitterness in that. And that's the hallmark of New England style IPAs. And there's a wheat malt which gives it a texture. So the texture should be smooth enough. You should be getting
it. It is, but I would find that difficult now to drink a lot of that.
Because it's so strong?
No, not because it's so strong.
Well,
I think that would sort of fill me very
Susan,
quickly, make me feel...
Yeah, well, you see, that's the thing. With something like that, you don't drink it too...
The mouthfeel is really nice on this, Joe, because it has that kind of wheatiness that makes
it the wheat
cover
gives
your
it
mouth.
That
but I know exactly what you feel. It feels thicker in your mouth
exactly,
as well.
That's it.
So it feels like you're getting much more. It feels like almost like a food because it has that thickness. Mm. But I think then maybe you just think about how you pair it with something that's kind of lighter or fresher with it. This would be really great with a crab salad for your starter on Christmas Day. It'd be amazing.
Okay. There you go. There's a food recommendation.
Salad. There you go. So what's your next choice?
Oh, we're moving into the dark side now.
And you're going
Matt.
To a bottle at least, aren't you?
Yeah,
it's
I know.
Cans.
It's been all cans. Yeah. So I had to get my bottle
cans are
for
better
this.
For the environment.
So, are they?
Yeah.
Are they better for taste?
Yeah.
Do they impact on the taste
they
of a beer?
They do, because they keep light out, and light is the enemy of beer. Because once a beer gets hit with light, it gets light struck, which is one of the things that can change the flavours. The hops break down under sunlight.
I did not know that. So you're
actually
better off with a tin or a can than you are with a bottle.
You are. are, but people are slow to move. It depends on the type of beer, though, because this beer also ages quite well in bottles. So this is from
this a stout, is it?
This is. This is a porter. So this is from the Brehon Brewhouse.
So the difference between porter and stout is?
Well, there's no difference. Porter is from the word port, where this kind of drink was traditionally consumed throughout Europe. And stout is from a German word, which escapes me at the moment. But they're both the same thing.
I actually think that this is probably a stout.
This is very rich tasting.
Extremely rich. It's beautiful, though.
Delicious. So this is from the Brehon Brewhouse.
It's like black chocolate.
It's gorgeous, isn't it? It's called Mechanical Turk. And they have brewed this in conjunction with a home brewer. It's gorgeous. And it's coffee. So they've used a specific type of coffee in this. They've used a honey-processed coffee. And that's where they leave some of the coffee berry on the coffee beans. So it creates this kind of stickiness and this loveliness, which adds to the sweetness of it.
I'm cracking. I'm having a second mouthful of this.
Because it's delicious.
We've got through to him.
Eventually,
it's now,
into the dark side and the delicious
things.
What
is that called? That is beautiful.
It's called Mechanical Turk. It's from the Brehon Brewhouse.
Up the north.
And it's a spiced coffee milk stout. And it's absolutely delicious. So it has a little bit of lactose in it, so it's still a little bit sweet.
They'd make a milk stout and then they'd add extra.
They add coffee and they add cardamom with this.
We did the same for an Irish coffee stout.
Isn't it cracking?
It's lactose
in it
because I'm sort of lactose intolerant.
Oh no, you'll have to take your lactase beforehand. That's what ruined you drinking more, but it tastes amazing. It smells brilliant and it tastes brilliant too.
I probably shouldn't be enthusing so much raps and so.
No, it's gorgeous.
You're allowed to enthuse. It's Christmas.
Okay, what else do we have?
This is from Dot Brew, this next one. This is a bottle from Dot Brew. Dot Brew, Shane is the guy in Dot Brew. Absolutely incredible brewer.
He's a great palate. He makes brilliant
beers. They're kind of specialised in barrel-aged and blended beers. And barrel-aged seems to be a trend of the past couple of years. So they make the beer and then they age it in a whiskey barrel.
Oh, yes.
Or a bourbon. Or in this case, which is rum. And this is just wonderful. It's a red ale that's been aged in whiskey barrels and
no,
rum.
I'm not a fan of red ale usually.
You're really going to taste... Well, you won't... I mean, the thing about this is you're going to taste a lot of different flavors. It's quite strong as well. It's 8.9%. This is an exceptional beer, it has to be said. I really...
No, I wouldn't go for that now. But then again, I'm not a fan of red ale.
You are entitled.
It tastes nice in Smithwick's now, I have to say.
Well,
we're just keeping the bar nice and low.
This beer really is something else. I think it's one of my favourite of 2018. It's absolutely incredible.
It's called again?
Barrel-aged Rum Red Dark from Dot Brew.
I can only take one more from each because we're out of time.
Okay, we're going to go straight onto the dark side again. And this is Blowhard by 8 Degrees. So this is aged in Jameson cask barrels. So
and this is a porter
and
again.
This is gorgeous. So this is an imperial stout. So it's stronger in alcohol. It's up at 12%, right? So this is really, you're in wine territory here when you're tasting this. But I think what is incredible about it is this great smoothness and the warmth that you get from the residual Jameson that's in the barrels that they use to make it. And I just think it's wonderful. I think it's going to age really well in bottle. I think it would be fabulous with some whipped goat's cheese as well. It's like it's a sipper. It's a by the fire, gorgeous drink. And I think they've done a great job. Their barrel age program has been really interesting and they're going to have a consistent stream of barrels from the relationship now with Jameson, which is really nice. So I think we're going to see amazing things from 8 Degrees and Blowhard. Actually, they've had it out in the shops and it is hard to get now because it has got this fan base around it as well. So
yeah, I'm not surprised.
Delicious.
I haven't been asking you about prices. I can imagine they're all at the premium.
They're all very reasonable.
You
can get good price point offers like 4 for 10 and things like that.
But a lot of people are keeping them underneath the kind of 5
you pay
euro
for good
market.
Quality. Yeah. You said we've got time for one more. Yeah. I do want a quick mention to the White Hag who provided the Yule Christmas Ale, but I have mentioned them before. They won't mind. It's a great beer.
And also to the Whiplash Scaldy Porter.
Well, yeah, the Whiplash, they gave me two, so I'm going to go for the Whiplash Setting Sun, which is a brand new double IPA from them. And like, seriously, these guys.
Double IPA means?
It's double the hops.
More IPA.
More IPA.
More malt, more hops, more flavour, more intense, a little higher in alcohol.
Alex and Alan Whiplash are just making some seriously
good
beers.
Inventive. I've been ruined by the stout.
I found your soft spot. And this is the season for lovely stouts.
That's the thing. If you like hoppy flavours, you will like the likes of Whiplash.
Okay, I'll tell you what, I know we have a couple of other beers. We'll do a picture of all the cans and bottles and we put up the recommendations on our website on todayfm.com. But unfortunately, I've gone over the time I've been allotted. That doesn't surprise me. But anyway, Susan Boyle, drinks consultant, a beverage researcher at
ITALA,
and Joe Donnelly from Rascals Brewery.
Thanks very much for joining us.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.